I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these evil of things which they know not, they speak evil. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for teachers who convey the true gospel, that is, the truth of the scriptures. We know that the difference between truth and error, Father, is a matter of life and death, and pray that those who come with false gospels will stumble and be ineffective. We pray that this local congregation will continue to be blessed with pastors and all teachers who earnestly contend for the faith. We thank you for the scriptures, the true translation of the that written record that doesn't change. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Again, we thank you for teachers who are careful in speaking every word in accordance with your word. Bless Pastor Otero with all wisdom and knowledge from that word as he comes now to bring the message today. Bless those listening also on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may apply those things which we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And would you please be seated?
Thank you so much, my brother. And like before the message this morning, to take care of two things. For some of you who are 20 years older here in our church, I want you to know that Beverly Hill, who used to be with us when we were on the bank, renting the room in the bank, our church started in 1982, and for 2 years she passed to be with the Lord, and her son have called and let us know, and there will be an Oak Hill memorial, there will be her memorial service, and so we are really encouraged for her life with us, and some of us recall her way back for 2 or 3 years then in that place. And we pray for the family that they will be able to stand at this moment in faith with God. And I would like to ask you this question this morning. Is anyone here who serve this country in whatever, in the army, in the Navy or in the Air Force, will you stand, please, as we're going to honor you this morning? Is anybody here who served there? Include, all right. You may be seated, and we thank you for your service and for your years in the military. Now we go back to our studies in the book of Jude. So you will do well if you turn your Bible to the book of Jude. And I just want one little note again to you before this. Some of you look, especially my wife, very strange when I step into the choir place, but that was to give a message to somebody, not to attempt to sing in the choir. So relax. You are safe. we learn in verse 1 and in verse 2, there are three things that belong to you and to me as believers. In verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus, we learned that he was a brother, half-brother of Christ, the brother of James. To them they are sanctified by God the Father and preserved and called. So we learned three security rules of God about the people that he called. God called us. God sanctified us, put his holiness on us. And then God preserved us. Keep us in spite of anything that happened. Now we go a little farther, and we see one thing is strange. When I read the book, I always keep a line in the center as you learn to read fast a book. And the first thing you learn is, does the author change his mind any place? So he changed his thoughts. And in this book happened that the author changed his mind. We see that his original desire was not to write about one issue, but was to write about somebody else. He wanted to write about the common salvation that we have. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them they are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, and call mercy unto you and peace and love and multiply. Now here comes the switch. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. So that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to write a letter of a common salvation that we all have in Christ Jesus. But he was forced to change. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you. Very strange form in the original language where he switched thoughts and he said, I want to write about this, but now I'm writing you about something else. To the end that he changed his purpose, in that section of verse 3, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly, the word earnestly is, in the original is the word seriously, contend for the faith which once was delivered unto you. And look at in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawareness, who were before of all ordained to this condemnation, and godly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the light of this, Jude call us to contend very seriously for the faith. Now, there is two ways to write the word faith in the original language. One as a noun and the other as a verb. In English, that's no have that. In English, when you write faith as a verb, you write the word believe. But in the flexibility of the original language, you can add a few things at the end and then you can change the word. It's like German, all right? You have a noun, a participle, and a verb, all in one word. And so German concentrate very shortly when they speak. And so they are in their way. The languages speak of the character of the people. All right? So here we have, when the Bible said, I want to seriously contend for the faith, is not talking about your belief, it's talking about the set of doctrines, what the teaching that you have. We need to stand seriously on what we have learned, because there are some guys, 2,000 years ago, there are some guys who, they came smoothly into the church. They came like a good holy lamb, and they, in their homes, they are teaching something else. So he said, I'm aware of that, and I'm going to teach you. So two things I like to do with you this morning. I like to teach you that I want to teach you to appreciate the need of contending for the faith. The need to say, this is true, and that's it. There's no compromise. All right? Like we learned in Sunday school today. I was so excited. I think they hear it from the street. That was really jumping, full class, wall to wall. That was good. All right? The need for contending for the faith. And how do you do it? So we're going to study how to do that. So in this study, then, I'd like to emphasize these two thoughts. The need of seriously saying, this is what I believe, and I will not change, regardless what people said. And then, how do I teach others what I believe? All right? Okay. Here we are. And had nothing to do with Roman Catholicism, Protestants, of this or that. Had nothing to do with that. You will see it, what it is. It's just two little things that were in trouble at the beginning of the church, who is still in trouble today, even in the Congress of United States of America. All right? Soon I will be in jail after saying that, but I tell you, I eat good in jail. All right, here we are. They need to contend earnestly for the faith. Look at in verse 3, the sufficiency of the scripture. I'm reading verse 3, and I made the emphasis where the Bible put the finger on. Beloved, he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of your common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should seriously contend for the faith which once delivered unto you. In other words, it was already done. It was one set. It was delivered once for all. One time for all. You don't need to learn new ways in the Bible. You don't need to change your Bible. You need to say, no, now the Bible is different and so on. The set of doctrines was once placed to you and is finished and is not for modification, he said. We call that in theology the sufficiency of the scripture. In bibliology, you learned a semester on the sufficiency of the scripture was delivered. It was complete revelation of all that he will have us to learn. If you turn your Bible to 2 Timothy, page 1298, if you are using the Bible in the pew, I give you the number, 1298, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 16 and 17, you will see that already this has been clear from the very beginning when the scriptures were complete. That was the only sufficiency, faith, teachings, doctrines that we have. Page 1298. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 16. All scripture, see, no one or two, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, by the breath of God, and is profitable for doctrine. Now our doctrine is didaskalos, which is the word teaching, is good for teaching, for reproof, alright, for correction, that's restoration, okay, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the Bible is clear. The teaching of the apostle Jude is really saying to us, we have received the sufficiency of what you need to do to be a man of God. You don't need any other book. You don't need any other commentary. You don't need any other addition. You don't need any other that relates to life. The Bible is sufficient. But when people suggest that God's revelation is incomplete, or it is still progressing, then our task is seriously contending for the faith once delivered. We have to say to those people, that is wrong. The revelation of God is complete. We cannot add or take away. We cannot interpret any other way than what the Bible already tells us how to interpret. You maybe don't know it, but now you discover. That's inspiration, it's not revelation. The revelation of God is completed. The Holy Spirit is the same. You read the Bible, and if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit will lead you. And if you keep on reading, and you put day after day, 10, 12 hours a day, man, you get to know exactly what God said. And it's just put a little time, 3-4 hours a day, you learn any language of the world. The best will be Hebrew, easy language to begin. And then you go to Greek, and then you read it, and you say, God, how wonderful you are. But you don't have to do that. You read it in English, and that's big enough and a great work for us to do so. All right? And so the first thing that Jude wanted the people to know is the sufficiency of the Scripture. Boy, that we need that today. We need that today. Amazing. And people have hundreds of translations today. And I'm afraid some of these translations is to accommodate their thoughts. So that's what I use the King James. Was good for 500 years. What not is not going to be good until the end. What wrong with the King James? I enjoy working with in the book of Revelation with Oxford University. They say, I'm so glad that a Latino, they call me, likes the English Bible. See, they call it the English. They don't call it, they call it the English Bible. We speak English in England. And I'm glad we just type on the screen, because if they talk, it's hardly to understand, don't we? They speak with potatoes in their mouth, bong, 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 like that. I once told them, and they were mad, so I don't say it again. The sufficiency of the Scripture. Verse 4, the sufficiency of grace. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 4. For there are certain men, crept in awareness, who were before of all ordained to this condemnation, and godly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You see that? People speak of grace. The sufficiency of God's grace. Their doctrine of grace gave them excuse to sin. They said, well, I'm saved, I'm preserved, I'm sanctified, I'm called. I can do anything I want with my life. That's what they said. There are a lot of people of them. And if you do something, you do works, and that's bad. Well, I have news for them. The news of the Bible. Let's go for Romans. You go a little bit to the left, put one hand in Jude, and after Acts is Romans 6. And Paul addressed the issue in Romans 6 very strongly. Romans 6. And look in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, shall we sin and say, well, anyway, I'm saved, I'm perfectly saved. I can do anything I want with my life, and God is still going me to heaven. Now look at the answer in verse 2. God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? In other words, that doesn't mean that we Christians are perfect, but that we, boy, when we sin, we detect it. And we say, God forgive us and correct our life. You cannot live a life completely and say, well, I'm saved anyway. It's okay with me to live in this way. So the sufficiency of grace. They disregard the commands found in God's word. If you move your Bible now way to the back to 1 Peter, in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, and in verse 16, God gave us a command that was given in the Old Testament. This was given to Israel, and God was in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6 was given to us, and now here we are. It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Don't fool around with your life, because God doesn't fool around, then you have to imitate God. That's very important. And so grace doesn't mean that God give you the liberty to be playing your life like the devil. So you need to work like a child of God. Your boss needs to say, boy, I cannot lose that employee. If I lose him, I lose money. I was careful each time I worked. I had that characteristic. I want to work my life through it so that my boss said, boy, they were firing people left and right, but I cannot fire that guy. He's too good. I even one time drove the car for him to go someplace. He said, well, you know, I have this. Don't worry about it. I have my car, and drove my car. I do anything you want to. Amazing. So now they can afford to lose me. See? And that's a reflection of God. You're a child of God, and you work in your life, and you live your life for God's glory. Grace means that you did nothing to be saved. That's it. Grace means that you do not collaborate with God to be saved. God did half and you did the other half. God did it all. He sent His Son. His Son died on the cross. He paid for your sin. He sent the Holy Spirit. He called you. You come out. Amazing. So how can you enjoy and say, you need to be holy as God is holy? Those who contend earnestly for the faith are mindful of the grace of God. Look at it in Titus. In Titus. Right here, you're in Jude. Titus is coming up just before Hebrews. Look at it in Titus, page 1300 in Titus, in chapter 2 and in verse 11. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 and verse 12. Look at what the Bible said for us. Page 1300. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. See, nobody can say, I don't know. Nobody. Now look at here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is that enough? That will keep you busy for the rest of your life. Look at how God wants you and me to live. He says, soberly, very serious about our life and about salvation. Righteously, mean everything we do, that righteously is the German word for justification. Everything we do has to be according to God, okay? Godly, imitating God in this present world. That's the way we should live. How do you say that because I have the grace of God, I live in the way I want to? That is not possible and is not right. So he's talking and contending with the faith. He said, first thing you need to know, the Bible is the Bible, and don't add or take it away, or don't take any other book comparing to the Bible. See, there was somebody here in the coffee shop that want to compare the book Protocol with the book Bible. See, he said, oh, the book Protocol, and it was written 100 years ago, and talks about the decay of America. The book Protocol say this, and the book Protocol say this, and I said, the Bible say this, and the Bible say, but the book Protocol say it, but the Bible is old, the fellow. It's a nice book telling how America decay, going to be surrendered to some country and so on. But I tell you, some people pick up another book, and because few things happen, they trust the other book rather than trusting the Bible. That's what happened. Okay, the sufficiency of the Bible, the sufficiency of grace. Grace has saved you. Now you live like a saved person. Don't fool around. Then, the sufficiency of Godhead. You need to have a King James Bible for this, otherwise the Bible has taken the word God away. Here, look at the end of verse 4. It says, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God. The King James, the New King James have that. And our Lord is Jesus Christ. Other Bibles do not have it. The reason is the King James used a particular manuscript for translation, and the other Bible used another manuscript for translation. And it's an entirely different meaning then. What the Bible is doing here is really saying, Jude have to deal with those who deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus. Notice, the Lord God, the Lord Jesus. Two people are equal then. See that? The Lord God and the Lord Jesus. Jude is saying these two are one. And they are denying the lordship of these two who are one. If you do not have the word God, then you cannot do that. And so I don't know who manuscript they do it, but this is important. See? Those who contend earnestly for the faith, recognize that Jesus is God. And I have across the street the fellow telling me, and where is that in the Bible? I say, do you really, really want to know? You pay me a coffee if I know it? So we were in McDonald's and he paid me a coffee. Here it is. Hebrews chapter 1. in verse 8. When people tell you the Bible doesn't say Jesus is God, it's good because I got a free coffee. Here it is. Hebrews 1 in verse 8. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O Deus, God. Oh, he said, I have his Bible. The Jehovah Witness Bible. My Bible doesn't have it. Now, that's a problem. So give me that Bible, and I gave one King James. Let me keep that junk. That's exactly what happened. Remember what we talked before? Contending for the faith. They change a word here, and they change a word there, and they change a word here, and very soon you don't know this, and suddenly you are in a map. You're going to put your feet on the ground. So the sufficiency of Godhead will recognize the authority that belongs to Christ. He is God. You can read Psalm 2. It said, today I have chosen you to be my son and descendant to earth. But that doesn't mean that he was a son in, he was a son in relationship. It was God in fullness. And Colossians chapter 1 talks about that the fullness of God was in the presence of Christ. And you can go on and on and on in the scripture. 1 Timothy 3:16 talk that the beauty of God was seen in the flesh of Jesus. On and on and on. He is God. But what people have created? Denominations where Jesus is not God. You take the Mormons across the street. You take the Jehovah's Witness across the street. And we need to put a finger. They're wrong. And they are not the truth. And so Jude writes, he said, I'm contending for the faith. I'm really teaching you that 2,000 years ago, I'm teaching you that those people are coming in. What is the contending for the faith then? Two issues. The word of God, sufficiency. This is sufficient. So I'm going to go to this seminar to tell me how to live. Oh, how stupid you are. Excuse me. You just read the book. Husband, the Bible tells you how to love your wife and keep presence and care. Girls, I tell you what it is. And then you should read it to your husband. And then husband, I tell you how your wife cooked the enchiladas and all this, you know, it's all here. Children, first word the Bible says about children is obey your parents. You know how smart they are? They told me, for how long? When they are right, when they are wrong. And, oh, the children, they're smarter than you. And I'm glad for the original language. It's in present active. Keep on obeying your parents. My son-in-law, he's 50, going to be 50. The other day he visited with me and he said, Dad, what do you think about that? And I want to cry. I want to cry. Here's a son-in-law who can make decision by himself. So I want you to think about this. Tell me. Boy, that my heart was, I had to cry on the table. What a privilege I have. What a privilege I have. How thankful I am. And so we pulled the Bible and said, this is what the Bible said. It's fantastic. I really had doubt on him when he was dating Miriam. He came with the Bible from Los Angeles to date my daughter. He said, can I take your daughter out? That's good, boys. You have to ask permission to the parents of the girl for respect. He said, yes, you can. And he took off and I took off just to see where they go. I said, well, you know, I tell you, it's my daughter, the only one I have. And so much when the wedding, their pastor said, I can't believe it. The pastor said, let their daughter go. But I want to protect it. And the two were under the tree for half hour reading the Bible and no one kissed. I said, he may be stupid. How blessed I am for a godly man who has a godly father who's dying now and all the time in the last moment. I love that family. I love them so much that when they were dating, their family wanted to know my daughter and they invite my daughter to their home to study my daughter, see where the son is going to get. See, a Latino girl, watch out. The Bible and the Lord Jesus is what you need to stand on. The Bible and the Lord Jesus. No compromise. The Bible is the Bible and the Lord Jesus is God. Well, you know, we can consider. Mahomet told me people think that we are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Abraham. You are the unblessed Abraham's seed. Ooh, now I get panicked. What do you mean? If you say that in Arabia, you die. Well, I carry a dog too and then we fight together. See, they are willing to die for their God is the only one. And so we, Jehovah, the God of Israel, is the God of this earth. Our Congress is crazy. Doesn't respect our God. And so the nation, blessed is the nation who Jehovah, Yahweh, is their God. So they should watch. To deny the God of Israel, you should watch. Because this is our God. So they're contending for the faith. This is the God. Now, I'm sorry I have so few minutes. I have another hour to speak, but I want to tell you how. I want to tell you how to do it. Move your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. This is how. Ephesians 6. They tell you, Paul tell you step by step how to do it. How to battle for the faith. It's not with guns and with the knife and so on. It's different. Look at the enemy. Ephesians 6:10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And here's to whom we wrestle. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness and high. Listen, we wrestle against Satan. Dr. McCormick, in our conference on Friday, each Friday, the genius of this church, they meet in a very luxurious place there in Gilroy, the bowling alley. And we meet there for breakfast. And there is no one occasion that Dr. McCormick drops the thought, remember, fellows, we are against Satan. It's true. It's true. All as he is, he holds his mind. It's true. We are against Satan. And now what do we do then? Okay, here it is. We go. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt with the truth. The best translation will be stand. Put your belt of truth around your waist. What is truth? I don't have the time to go back and forth in the Bible, but I tell you. John 17:17. Holy Father, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Put your belt, you know, your belt, the truth with the Bible. Read it. No at 12 midnight, at 4:30 in the morning. All right? Take a good shower, cold shower, and then go and read the Bible. You are awake. And read it. Read it. That's the belt of truth. Verse 14, he said, get the Bible. Having our birthplace of righteousness, the protection of the right living in your heart. Promise yourself as you leave the home this morning, today I will live righteously. That what that mean? Mean I will live as God want me to live. Make that decision. Verse 15. And your feet with the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. On your feet wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. And the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 to 3. That Jesus died for our sin. He was buried and he was resurrected. Don't forget that one. He was resurrected. In Sunday school in Spanish, we went through what John's supposed to know about all the things that Jesus did. And he resurrected the Jairus' daughter, you remember? And what amazing. Put that in your the gospel. Don't forget, when people do things, just share the gospel. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. I was in a party yesterday, and it was a doctor talking to me, and it was from Argentina, the doctor, and I said, doctor, if you will know how the body is made, you will really open your eyes like that. He said, well, what book do you read here for medicine? You read the Bible. And Genesis 2:7 said, God took a mummy out of the dirt, collect all the minerals, put it together. And then, doctor, I said, who gave them life? He said, well, he became alive. No, no, nothing becomes alive by this crazy guy who created evolution. No, you know that. You live in a stone in your home and you say, well, in 20 years, going to be what? No. Each time I look, I have one little fish in my home. And I said, how is my bird? And the people come. And in front of my people, I said, how is my little bird? And say, Gabriel, that's a fish. I've been 20 million years when to be a bird. You know, that's amazing, don't we? Those people who believe in evolution, they're crazy. So I said, doctor, clean your head. Learn, the 70 minerals of the body are right there by God. And then God created the soul, who you are. And then God blew the life in your body. That's what it is. And why? And then I brought the gospel, because God wants to clean you, want to do this and so on. And then they look on it, and they're Roman Catholics, they never heard this. They look on it, they said, I think it was too much a lesson. But you know, they're going to think. Here is another professional who thinks right. Verse 15, the gospel. Verse 16, the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That's very important. Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Amazing. Shield of faith. If God say it, he's going to do it. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Accept God's salvation. If they kill you, they kill you. But you know, nobody can kill your soul. Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Be afraid of those who can kill the body and the soul. That's God. So take that in consideration and live free without no problem. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is that? The Bible tells you, which is the Word of God. In other words, you always dwell on the Word of God. And then pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Praying always. Praying. Praying. Wow. That's how you do it. That's how you make it. It's not by making petitions. It's not by marching on the squares in San Jose against the homosexual and against the other. No. It's by living the Christian life. God style will destroy the enemy. We are not politicians. We are Christians. In Acts 2:42 is my conclusion. Here is what these people did. Acts 2:42. I always look to the beginning church, how they did it. And here's what they did. The Bible said they spend their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking the bread, the Lord's Supper, and praying, and get the last word in Acts 2:42, together. And praying together. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you like me or not, I'm going to tell you, I do I. Where are you on Wednesday night? I'm going to send some missiles to your home. If you want this church to succeed, if you want this pastor to be healthy and Pastor Thomason to be right on the money, we need your prayers. Not just in your home. What the verse said? Praying together. I need you here together. If you are sick, I understand that. Take 4 Advils and 4 of the others and come. I have preached here very sick for a month. Totally sick. I had to take 10 Advils to come to the pulpit. But I tell you, you and me are one. And if we want to have a remarkable success in building the church and the other property and doing this and having the church wall to wall, you live for Christ, you share the gospel, and then you pray together as a church body. With the freeways of America, the comfort of your beautiful Cadillacs, there is no problem. We took train, bus, and 30 or 40 blocks walking. But I was there in prayer meeting. God bless me. When I came to this country, I knew no one word of English. But God put always the right people behind me. I never forgot my friend, the Hollander, who work with me. You know, those people from Holland are very smart cookies. He knew German, Spanish, French, and Dutch. And he was my buddy until I got my classes done in San Francisco University. I tell you, our God is so good that I want to spend more than one day in prayer, thanking God how grateful we are of Him. May God bless you. Contending for the faith. The Bible is true, but you need to demonstrate it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the lesson that we learned this morning. We are seriously to stand for what we believe. The Bible is true and Jesus is God. But between that, the world needs to see people who really believe in their behavior and their kindness and their integrity. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Still be my vision.